Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Frank Friar, a.k.a. Father Nick, reporting to you all from Middletown, New York. And today, we are covering, again, the fourth dwelling place of the interior castle by my big sister, St. Teresa of Avila. And today I'm just going to talk about a little aspect from the third chapter of the fourth dwelling. This is the three chapters in this fourth dwelling. This is the last chapter. She covers a couple of big topics. There's recollection, but it's a... As Kyrian Cavanaugh, Father Kyrian Cavanaugh says, it's more of a passive recollection. This is where the prayer of quiet comes in. And then she gives a warning. I hinted a little bit at that warning last episode. I think if you listen to the end of that last episode, you'll find the warning that I'm sort of hinting at. I'm not going to cover much of the prayer of quiet. That deserves its sort of own episode. It's very important for her and I hope all of Carmel. And I think it's very important for church to understand that that aspect of prayer. But I want to go into this passive recollection because this is an important thing. She wants to draw people deeper into understanding the notion of spiritual delight, you know, the gustos, as she said. This, of course, the warning comes with the contentos or the consolations. She's trying to get people going deeper into understanding the spiritual delight, something she hit on in the first chapter, the fourth dwelling, second chapter. Now, you know, it's woven into this third chapter. And one of the aspects that she does is we have to be recollected so we can appreciate it better. So there's this recollection. There's this being drawn back together. And she speaks about, and she goes back to that castle metaphor and the interior castle, right? And she uses the notion of a variety of different kinds of people. And these people symbolize sort of the senses of the person, the faculties of the person. These are notions out of the scholastic sort of theology. She's getting these terms from other readings that she's doing in her life. So these are loaded terms for the theological and spiritual understandings of her time. So, you know, the senses of a person, the faculties of a person, these are people in and of themselves that are being sort of brought back together. And they're being brought back together and brought back into the interior castle. And she reminds us that these things have been traveling outside of the castle for many years. You know, and by that she means they're focused on the exterior world around the person. You know, they're out in the world. And because of that, you know, they become a little dull to the movements of what's been occurring inside the interior castle. Inside the part of the castle is the soul. So, you know, who's the one that's doing these? And this is why it's passive recollection. I really like how Kyrian Cavanaugh emphasizes that aspect too, that it's the Lord, the whistle of the Good Shepherd that sort of begins to entice and to bring these aspects of the person ever more deeper and unifying them again, you know, recollecting them back inside the soul of the person, focusing them on that necessity of that interior journey. So it's very important that we understand that, you know, this is not I'm making my mind do this and I'm making my different senses do this and I'm making my imagination do this and my intellect and my no. These aspects are responding to the act of God, an act of the shepherd. And she speaks about, you know, the shepherd's whistle, you know, has the power to bring these aspects that are maybe overly focused on the exterior things of the world and bringing them into the castle. You know, they have been estranged. Now they're being brought back in. you know, and it's important to, it's not a result of our effort, you know, and this is to draw us away from temptations of pride, you know, the ego, vanity, these sort of things. So it's very important, you know, this recollection happens because that's what brings us into the next dwelling and allows us to enter into that prayer of quiet where we can begin to just sit and be, you know, with the Lord. And it's, you know, the world seeks to divide the human person to a variety of ways, and a lot of noise can attract different parts of ourselves and brings us into a multitude of different directions, you know. And this is where we can have that sort of quote unquote spiritual schizophrenia, for lack of a better word, you know. So the whistle of the shepherd, the call of the shepherd, sometimes maybe not very loud, but the different aspects that we have within our persons, within our nature, begin to respond to the one who has created them, and they begin to turn internal, and not only turn internal, but journey and become connected or reconnected in a way that's a little bit more stronger, more fitting, and more stable. So a lot of things are happening in terms of this passive recollection. And it's not us forcing ourselves into this state. These aspects of who we are responding to the call of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who whistles and the sheep know his voice and know his actions and know what's going on. So I find, you know, this part very beautiful. And it's to help, we need to have these things because if they're brought back together, and they're unified, you know, when the Lord brings us into the gustos, the spiritual delights, you know, they'll be able to strike us and we'll be able to appreciate them at a much, much, much deeper level. And remember, the spiritual delights are something that originate in God and not out of our own endeavors, like acts of meditation, for example. So I hope you find this episode very helpful for your spiritual life. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here on my podcast, please make sure to click that little subscribe button and then leave a little review. It really does help other people find me. And if you want more of my content, head over to my website, theframefryer.com. There you can find things I've written. You can find videos I've done, images I've created, and you can also email me. If I don't respond to your email, I apologize. I get a lot of emails, and I try to get to them as quick as I can. So you can email me from my website. All of this, of course, at thefrankfryer.com. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'll be praying for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.